You're listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Game one of the World Series will take place tomorrow at Fenway Park. The Red Sox, in my lifetime, this is the fifth time the Red Sox have made the World Series. Dodger fans still hoping for a repeat at 88. Last year they get there, they lose to the Astros. Could this year be different? Ryan Walton covering the Dodgers, SBNation.com on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Ryan, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Okay, so this is a very interesting matchup because many people have looked at the depth of the Dodgers and the way the Dodgers are constructed and the way they hit home runs, and this is more of an American League team than a National League team. How do you think they're going to fare here opening up at Fenway Park and given the fact that they get to put a bat in their lineup that they normally don't get to do so?
Yeah, it's obviously a big plus for a lineup that, like you said, is constructed like the American League anyway. It's going to be interesting because the Red Sox are probably going with a couple of lefties in games one and two, which is, just like the Brewer series the Dodgers came out of, has been a little bit of a disadvantage because they've platooned Max Muncy, who was their home run leader for the season, hit 35 of them out of nowhere. Hasn't really been in the lineup against lefties. But they're going to get the extra bat. What if that goes with Brian Dozier or Matt Kemp or somebody that's going to get in there? It's obviously a plus, and it's just going to be one of those things where how healthy Chris Sale is that they can get some hacks against those guys and David Price. I think it's going to be big for the Dodgers.
Clayton Kershaw, I think it's the best pitcher in baseball, but he's never thrown at Fenway Park. He went there yesterday after the Dodgers landed, already to get out there on the mound, trying to acclimate himself to the ballpark. How much trouble do you think he may have with the wall? The Red Sox, in particular, their left-handed hitters, love to pepper off the wall. Kershaw loves to pitch away, pitch on the corners. Do you see him having any issues with Fenway Park in Game 1?
Well, that monster is always intimidating, especially if somebody hasn't pitched there before. It's gonna be an interesting matchup with the heavy hitters there with Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. And if he gets in their kitchen at all, and then they turn it around on him, he's had a little more success than last year as far as giving up home runs. He gave up a career high last year, and it's gonna be one of those deals where if he can keep him in the park, it's going to be beneficial for the Dodgers. He's pitched well this postseason despite the game one hiccup in the NLCS, and he's pitching pretty well, as good as he's pitched all year. So I think for the Dodgers, they need to get out to an early lead to kind of settle things down a little bit, and whoever gets out to that lead is going to be in good position to win these ball games.
What type of guy, and how important is the attitude that Yusel Puig brings to the Dodgers? I mean, the clubhouse celebrations have been amazing. He guaranteed the World Series appearance. He's also guaranteed a World Series victory. Is he a leader in that clubhouse, or is he just somebody that the guys laugh at?
I think it's more of the latter. He is one of those guys that, when he's going good and he gets things going, it boosts the club in all kinds of different ways. When he's completely locked in at the plate, he's making great plays in defense. It's been one of those things for him over his career to really lock in and be focused. And the last 2-3 years, he's really kind of honed in. Dave Roberts has kind of done a good job of getting him focused, and Justin Turner being a leader of the clubhouse. I think Cody Bellinger said he's fun, but he's an idiot. It's one of those things where the clubhouse kind of likes to laugh at him. But when he's going good, the Dodgers are such a better team for it. And having him towards the middle or the bottom of the order, if he starts putting up hits, then it makes the Dodgers lineup that much more dangerous.
Ryan Walton covering the Dodgers, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. What do you expect from a lineup perspective here from the Red Sox? And how do you think Dave Roberts is going to handle if the Red Sox are going to put Mookie Betts at second base in Game 3, in Game 4? Do you anticipate the Dodgers, looking at that and trying to take advantage of the infield for the Red Sox with bunting? Because the left side with if it is going to be, you know, if they're going to play, Nunez's injury may prevent this from happening. But if they go with their traditional power hitting on the left side, both shortstop and third base is somewhat of a liability. Mookie Betts is an outfielder who came up as a second baseman but has not played much second base, not in these type of World Series games for that matter. Do you see bunting? Do you see some strategy coming from the Dodgers, or are they going to stick to the long ball?
They've bunted a little bit. Manny Machado bunted in Game 7 there. It's not really a big part of the game as a whole, but especially the Dodgers, they typically are going to really rely on trying to hit line drives, trying to mm-hmm. hit the ball as hard as they can. And I don't really see it being something that they might target. I'm sure the Red Sox will figure out the defensive alignment. Mookie Betts at second base to get J.D. Martinez out there in the outfield is going to be interesting. But they've got to do it to get the bats in there. I don't really see bunting being a real big part of their strategy. Dave Roberts has been pretty reluctant to ask his players to do that. It's one of those deals where players just they don't practice it anymore and they don't do it. So it's you know, asking guys to maybe do that during one of the bigger games of their careers mm-hmm. is kind of really going off script. And they're just going to rely to stick to what they've done all year and putting the ball in play. And I know that in the last series, they really tried to go the other way with the ball to kind of spread it around the field. And that worked at Dodger Stadium. And they got the going in Game 5 and Game 7. It worked for them, too. It's just a matter of getting that ball in play and getting the platoon advantage that they do in their lineup.
These managers have such interesting ties to the opposition. Obviously, Dave Roberts owns the biggest steal in Red Sox history in 2004, and Alex Cora came up a Dodger and has bled Dodger blue for years. What do you make of the managers in how, not to say this is going to factor into their emotions or not, but it is wild to see the connections these two guys have to their opposition, isn't it?
It is. There's so many connections between the two teams. It's, you know, obviously the stuff going back that Babe Ruth's name is going to be mentioned in it for the 1916 series. But Alex Cora and Dave Roberts both, you know, were teammates back in the early 2000s. They both came up with the Dodgers. Alex Cora was drafted there. There's so many different other variables, too. Nate Eovaldi was drafted by the Dodgers. He was traded for Hanley Ramirez. You know, Joe Kelly breaks Hanley Ramirez's ribs in the 2013 series with the Cardinals. He's in the bullpen for Boston. And there's just so many different variables that go into this series that there's so many storylines that are so interesting. Yeah, the Roberts part of it, being such a big hero and then seeing how they'll treat him in Boston. But Alex Cora is a really smart manager, and both guys have really done well with their teams. And I just can't wait for it to play out on the field.
Interesting. We'll get Ed here on this. What did the Dodgers learn last year in defeat to the Astros that will help them against the Red Sox this year?
Oh, I think that they're probably a little bit with Roberts and the way that he's going to use his bullpen and the leash that he might give to his starters. I know that was a big deal last year against the Astros with how long he left Yu Darvish in that game, Game 7. It's one of those deals where I think he knows his personnel that much more this year and what they can give him in the postseason. Roberts is ready to go. I think that experience last year really opened his eyes to what happens in those pressure moments, and I think he's ready to go.
Very cool. Should be a lot of fun to see when these two teams get going tomorrow night. It's going to be a wild series, I believe, Ryan. Thank you for the time. Really appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
Ryan Walton, SB Nation, covering the Dodgers for us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. I have gone back and forth on this, and I'm just going to tell you what I think. Red Sox in six. And I think home field's a big deal. I think home field's a really big deal in this. I think the Red Sox, when they beat the Cardinals in 2013, they split at Fenway Park. And I think a similar thing could happen. Dodgers and Red Sox could split game one and two. I think the Red Sox will, you know, win a couple of games in L.A. I think everyone's saying that this is going to be a difficult situation for them. I think the Red Sox are actually going to be okay with Mookie Betts playing second base, and I think their infield actually will get better because the range for the second basemen for the Red Sox, you know, whether it be Ian Kinsler or Brock Holt, Mookie's an athlete, man. He's unbelievable, and he will be able to get to baseballs those guys have not been able to. And you just have a lineup still for the Red Sox that I think is more potent and better top to bottom than what the Dodgers have. Red Sox in six. Talk some more football next. Pushing the Odds. SB Nation Radio.